This is Ed McMahon. It's That's Life with Mark Snyder. And now on WMSX, ladies and gentlemen, here's Mark.
Baby beluga in the deep blue sea, swim so wild and you swim so free. Heaven above and the sea below, and a little white whale on the go. Baby beluga, baby beluga, is the water warm? Is your mama home with you so happy? Way down yonder where the dolphins play, where you dive and splash all day. Waves rolling and the waves roll out, see the water squirting out of your spout. Baby beluga, oh baby beluga, sing your little song, sing for all your friends, we like you.
And that, of course, the voice of Rafi. And as I mentioned earlier on Ron's show, if you are a father or mother out there and you have young children, you know Rafi. It's simple as that. We have a number of his videos. We have his audios, his CDs. When the kids are acting in the car, the CD or the cassette goes on. Rafi plays. And this children's troubadour calms everybody down and makes life a lot easier for us. And we are lucky enough right now on the entertainment line to be talking with Rafi. Hi, how are you?
Hi, Mark. I'm fine. How are you?
Nice. Nice to talk to you.
Thank you.
You have a brand new book out. It's called Rafi, The Life of a Children's Troubadour.
Yes, it's my life story.
And how old are you?
I'm 51.
51 years old. I bet you this all keeps you real young, though, doesn't it?
It sure does. I've been doing this work over 23 years now, and I just really love making music for children and families, and I wrote about it all in this autobiography.
When you started out, you were a folk singer.
That's right.
And you were playing to adults in coffee houses, right?
Yeah. I mean, my influences were Bob Dylan and Joni Mitchell and, that whole folk music wave and the singer-songwriters of the late 60s and 70s, where it was my influence.
Hmm. Now, you're of Armenian descent?
That's right.
Yeah. That's an entire story into itself, the Armenian people and all they've been through.
It is, yeah, and I trace my Armenian roots right back to my grandparents and, the journeys that they made to safety in 1915. So there's a lot in this book, more than my showbiz career, you might say.
Right. It does go back quite a bit into the family tree. Now, I want to know a little bit about your parents and your grandparents and things. Were there a lot of musical influences in the family as well?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, my family was a family of storytellers. My grandparents told stories. Some were biblical stories. Some were, stories of the village, you might say, and the villages that they used to live. But my father was a great singer and musician. He played the balalaika, he played violin, and he played the accordion like you wouldn't believe. He was a very, very good accordionist. And he would sing Armenian folk songs in the house. And that's my first memory of music, is my father's deep, rich voice. And when I was a lad in Toronto, we moved to Toronto when I was 10 years old, from Cairo, where we were living, because I was born in Egypt, you see.
Mm-hmm.
But in Toronto, my dad and I sang in the Armenian church choir, and that was my first experience of actually making music, was singing in that choir.
Hmm. Now, when you mentioned some of the influences growing up, were you influenced by music from other countries as well?
Well, I guess the main influence that way was the Armenian influence through my father. I don't recall, listening to other music, except that, when I used to go to my father's portrait studio, he was a photographer, my dad was, he'd have the radio on, and I'd be soaking up whatever was playing on the radio.
Hmm. You know, it's interesting reading the book and seeing all the stuff in it, your journey, what a long journey it is from your childhood to hanging out, you know, with John Candy and all these other folks from the, movies and TV and all that kind of stuff. You've really crossed over. I mean, I was mentioning that we own half the stuff you sell.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think every family does that as young children. Obviously, you've sold millions. From what I understand, you sold about 10 million videos and CDs, right, and albums?
Yeah, over that much.
Now, you are not on a major label. Don't you have your own label?
I have my own label.
Wow.
And, you know, we've done it independently, you know, with national distribution, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, with A&M Records for a long time, we were distributed in the States, and then with Universal MCA, and now with Rounder Records. But having my own independent label has allowed me to keep the artistic freedom so that the music that I make can be respectful of children and made in a playful way that doesn't, you know, hit anyone over the head kind of thing. It's not in-your-face music. It's music that meets you halfway. And I think that's really important for young children especially.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's interesting because we've had Ani DeFranco on, who's, of course, has her own label called Righteous Babe. And she told us that she's been offered, you know, multiple millions of dollars to go to a major label. I assume you probably have some overtures from majors as well to buy out your label or to just put you on their label.
Well, I think they understood early on that I wasn't in this for money and that I was going to make my music the way that I thought was, you know, appropriate. And they respected that, actually.
And, you know, you've sold out Carnegie Hall and Broadway and everything else with children's concerts. Is it just as rewarding for you to play to small groups in schools and things like that as it is to a major place like a Carnegie Hall?
Yeah, it's a different kind of fun. You know, I don't do it as much as I used to because there isn't the time these days. But I was in a school in Vancouver a couple of months ago. And, you know, we're in the library and there's 100 kids sitting on the floor and all the teachers excited all around. You know, and that's a buzz of its own.
Hmm. Do you have any children of your own?
I do not.
Hmm. I guess the world are your children, huh?
Yeah.
every time you do a concert,
yeah,
you have
it's an interesting thing. I mean, I never felt the need to have my own kids. And, you know, I was married for a number of years, as you know, and my former wife felt the same way. So when the marriage did come to an end about 10 years ago, I guess we didn't have that to contend with.
Hmm. There's a lot of pictures of Debbie in here.
Yeah.
In the book. Are you with anybody else right now, or are you playing with
you? No, I'm not.
No.
Life is very full right now with book promotion and this, that, and the other, and making some new music. And
you have a couple of pictures of yourself in here with Al Gore, which makes me want to laugh. But I know that you're environmentally involved, and I believe that's probably the reason why you were pictured with him.
He's a good man, and he wrote an excellent book in 1992 called Earth in the Balance, and I'd recommend it for anyone who cares about this world to read. No, he's a good man.
Do you get involved in politics? Are you going to campaign for Al?
No. I don't get involved that way. But certainly, when there are people who understand the issues the way he does, it's worth celebrating. Now, you know, the problem is, of course, that sometimes when people are in political office, they have less freedom to speak out than when they were, you know, outside the White House. But that's something for our politicians and reformers to tackle.
Well, of course, you're also pictured here with Mikhail Gorbachev as well.
Yes, it was a thrill to meet him. And it's sad that his wife has just passed away, but Gorbachev, I think, was one of the arguably the most influential person of the century, in a way, dismantling the Soviet Union. I mean, he'd be right up there with people like Nelson Mandela and others, you know, for that in that category.
Did you get to speak to him at all?
Yes, I did.
What kind of things would you talk about with someone like him?
Well, it was at the Global Forum in 1993 in Kyoto, Japan. And he loves talking to artists and musicians and so on. So there was a dinner for about 16 of us, and we were sitting around the table. And, well, he just kind of has a very gregarious way of talking about world issues. And he has quite an environmental awareness since the Chernobyl accident. And Russia, so there were a number of things to talk about in that way.
Hmm. You know, you talk a lot about children's dignity, the dignity of children. I think that's something that is important. A lot of people just, they forget that children are human beings. They're not just these little creatures that roam the earth. I want to talk to you a little bit more about that, but we have to take a break first, hear a little bit of your music, and we're going to come back and continue talking with Rafi. The book is called Rafi, The Life of a Children's Troubadour. It's an autobiography from Homeland Press. We'll be back right after this.
Modular, interactive, modular, ring, 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 banana phone.
When was the last time you went to a Broadway musical and experienced action, adventure, thrills, and the scariest villain around? When was the last time a Broadway musical made you feel like a kid again? Taking you back to a time when you thought you'd never grow up.
I won't grow up. I won't grow up. I don't want to go to school. I don't want to go to school.
When was the last time a Broadway musical lifted you right out of your seat and made your heart soar?
To me, where am I?
The time is now for the perfect Broadway musical for kids and adults alike. See the all-new dazzling production of Peter Pan starring Kathy Rigby.
8 shows only November 9th through the 14th at the Wang Theater. Call 1-800-447-7400.
Here at Icon Office Solutions, we're telling businesses how much time they can save with digital technology. Hello, John.
Speaking.
Now, John, I hear that you spend a lot of time waiting to make copies.
Unfortunate, but true.
John, that's an interesting career path. What, did you take courses for this in college, like Standing Around 101?
That's funny.
You know, John, if waiting for the copier ever loses its glamour, you could always get a digital copier from Icon Office Solutions.
Digital? That sounds impressive.
Oh, it is, John. Digital copiers can be connected to your network, so you can crank out multiple originals, collate, staple, and fax right from your desk. These babies can even scan.
You mean I'll never have to stand around the copier again? That's great.
That's right. Just think how much more you can accomplish in a day.
The mind reels.
Let the leader in digital technology show you how Canon digital copiers and printers can help you compete better. Call 1-888-ICON-888. Work to win with Icon and Canon.
If you love music, TV, and the movies, you'll love PMPNetwork.com. That's right, PMPNetwork.com, the Internet's entertainment superstation, has downloadable interviews with your favorite celebrities, great photos to download, and reviews of movies, plays, music, and all the TV gossip you need. It's all in one place, PMPNetwork.com. Check it out on the Internet next time you're surfing the superhighway.
Grandpa, when you were little, did you ever see the circus?
The circus? Oh, yeah. Every spring, Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey would come to town and parade right down Main Street.
Wow.
Yeah, I used to get right up close to the lions, tigers, and elephants, and even shake hands with the clowns.
But, Grandpa,
huh?
Mom said that I can do that now.
Oh, how can that be?
It's called the Three-Ring Adventure, and it's free with your tickets to Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey. Come 1 hour before showtime and go right down on the arena floor to see the animals up close, meet the performers, and shake hands with the clowns just like Grandpa did.
And Grandpa, you can even have your picture taken with Khan, the world's tallest man.
Well, you tell your mom to get another ticket, son. I'm going too.
All right.
The Three-Ring Adventure at Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey. still the greatest show on earth.
Playing the Fleet Center October 15th through 24th. Tickets are on sale now. Call 931-2000 to order your tickets.
It ain't a phony, my cellular, bananular phone. Don't need quarters, don't need dimes to call a friend.
And welcome back to That's Live with Mark Snyder. Just ahead, a little while from now, All-Pro, four-time Super Bowl winner, Ronnie Lott will be with us. Right now we're talking to children's entertainer Rafi, and the book is called Rafi, The Life of a Children's Troubadour. And you've talked about dignity as an issue with children. A lot of people don't really give children the rights they should have. What do you think about that whole issue?
Well, I see children for the highly intelligent people that they are. And they come into this world born with an innate curiosity about life. Their brains are forming at a rapid rate in the early years, and they need our love and our respect. They need us to mirror to them the beauty that they are born with, and when we do that, they grow up full of the capacity to love, which is, in my opinion, our true nature is a very loving one. So that's how I see kids. I see them for the whole people that they are.
Mm-hmm. You know, you see what's going on in the school systems with kids shooting each other, babies having babies. Some of what I can see is the deterioration of American society in some of the young. And you wonder what the future brings. Do you still have a lot of positive vibes from the kids nowadays, or are you worried as well about what's going on in the high schools and junior high schools?
I'm certainly concerned about what I see, and I speak out about it, as much as I can. But the thing is that the very young child has needs that don't change. The society around the child might change, but children's needs at the early, in the early years, don't change, and they're universal. I think that the power of money in our society causes all kinds of distortions in the way we organize our lives, and I think that the economic system itself, with the growing gap between the haves and the have-nots, is a huge problem, and it's part of the reason why parents aren't at home as much as they ought to be. And this is a big topic that you raised, but certainly I'm concerned.
Well, I mean, you just brought something else up about parents being home. And, you know, when we were growing up in the Ozzie and Harriet days and Leave It to Beaver days, my mom stayed home. She was home to take care of the kids. Dad was out working all the time. Times have changed. Both parents are out working and for financial necessities, but it does seem to have injured the fabric of the family.
Yeah. I think that it's really important that when people have kids, they don't see the child as an interruption in their lives, that they welcome the child wholeheartedly and make whatever arrangements they can to be there with that child in one form or another, and that being there can be shared between father and mother and also other caregivers if they are around, grandparents and so on. But as child developmental writer Penelope Leach from England said, she said the best parenting today isn't enough if the society in which the family lives won't support that parent's intentions. And many people economically don't have the choice these days, and that's a real shame, and I think that's where we need to look to systemic change to support the family in its intention to raise this child with love and with attention.
Hmm. I just took a tour today of a facility called the Judge Rottenberg Center. They teach children who are kind of abandoned by the system that just can't be taught in mainstream schools. And there's a lot of different things that they do, which I think is great that they're trying to bring these kids out and get them a lot of help. You talk in the book about a program called Wonder Tree.
Oh yeah, in Vancouver.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, tell us about that.
There are many alternative learning pathways for kids. I mean, Wonder Tree talks about self-directed learning, where the children and their curiosities and what they're interested in is what directs their learning, in other words, instead of the adults imposing a program, do you see? So there are a number of different ways to attend to the children's individual natures and what they're truly interested in from a young age.
Yeah, I always thought that, at least in my own experience, that the stuff that I was really interested in was the stuff I really concentrated on and really learned.
That's right.
I mean, everything else was just forced on me, and as soon as I got my grade, and I was done with it. You know?
Right.
But the things that you're really interested in, you want to keep reading about, you want to keep doing.
And it doesn't mean that you won't get a broad education. I think this is just saying that there's something valuable in having the child make some of the choices from an early age. I mean, we talk about, you know, living in a democracy and making choices on election day. Well, this is talking about giving the child that experience of decision-making and choosing from an early age.
Hmm. You know, music, to me, was real important when growing up. It was an escape from everything. It was learning through music. It was helping to study. Do you find that you have a big responsibility on your hands when you have music that is played in so many millions of American homes?
Yeah, I mean, it's a real honor for me to be considered part of the family in many, many homes across the land, and I do take that responsibility seriously. I make music, you know, in a playful tone for the child, because I understand that that's the language that a child speaks in the early years. Young children, I should say, they speak the language of play, and that's how they learn. And so I try and make music that they can make their own, that the whole family can sing together without reservation. And from the feedback I get, it seems that I do well in that department.
I guess so. Well, the book is really a story about the life of Rafi and his family and people and a lot of different things. It's called Rafi, The Life of a Children's Troubadour. It's from Homeland Press. It's available right now in the stores. I have a little sample CD of a couple of songs here. Is that a new CD that's out?
Which one do you have?
What is that called, Rob?
The Banana Phone?
Yeah, yeah.
That's a 1994 CD.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, they sent me one with two cuts on it. That was the, I thought it might have been a new one that they were putting out. But Rafi stuff is everywhere. You can't miss it. Go in the store, and there's photos, there's videos, there's CDs, there's cassettes, and now a book. Thanks so much for coming on.
It's been a real pleasure, Mark. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. There's also been, you know, 2 million books published based on his music, too, which is interesting. When we come back, Ronnie Lott will be with us, the four-time Super Bowl winner with the San Francisco 49ers, right after this.
The name Tim Matheson may not be a household name, but he's one of those good, steady actors who constantly seems to get work. I'm Jeffrey Lyons, and after this time out, I'll tell you about his new project and have more casting notes.
This is Diane Carroll for Exactech RSG. My mother lives with diabetes, so when an accuracy innovation in blood glucose monitoring comes along, my family wants to know about it. Exactech RSG is different. Its test strips are made to such high standards, you don't have to calibrate, ever. Now, we don't worry about calibration errors that could cause readings to be up to 3 times too high. Best of all, they cost less. You could save hundreds of dollars every year. Better accuracy, less cost. That's Exactech RSG.
I wouldn't trade being a mom for anything, but having kids can do a number on your body, especially your breasts. Perfectly Natural Breast Augmentation gave me back my figure. I'm a mom and a wife. I want to be my best at both. To speak with a plastic surgery specialist near you, call 1-877-7-NEW-YOU. You'll receive information about breast augmentation and monthly payment options. Perfectly Natural Breast Augmentation. It's about looking your best. Call toll-free 1-877-7-NEW-YOU today.
I'm Jeffrey Lyons in the Lyons Den with news of actors, in particular Tim Matheson. He's a good, steady actor, not yet a star, maybe never a star, but he always gives you your money's worth. He'll soon be seen in Rob Reiner's family drama called Story of Us with Bruce Willis and Michelle Pfeiffer, and he's just directed Showtime's In the Companies of Spies, starring Ron Silver and Tom Berenger. As if that weren't enough, he'll play the vice president in the new NBC show, The West Wing, coming this fall. Molly Ringwald, one-time member of the Brat Pack, will star, meanwhile, in The Weeds as a waitress and will next be seen in Teaching Mrs. Tingle, which is just opening. And look for a movie called The Shoeshine Boys, about two young men who plan to steal the Olympic torch as it passes through their hometown, but wind up nabbing the celebrity torchbearer instead. Talk about a strange premise, but an intriguing one. Good idea. Casting notes in the Lion's Den. I'm Jeffrey Lyons.
There are many reasons to transport your car great distances. You might be moving, going to college, or even have a prolonged work assignment in a faraway state, or you might be going to Florida. No matter what your reason, American Auto Transporters can help. For 20 years, American Auto Transporters has used tractor trailers and professional drivers to move cars around the country. And there's good reason for using American Auto Transporters. Safety, reliability, and convenience. Simply specify when and where your car needs to be at a particular time, and American Auto Transporters will have it there waiting for you. American Auto Transporters handles all types of vehicles, from domestic family cars to world-class exotics. To find out more, visit the American Auto Transporters webpage at www.shipcar.com or call 1-800-800-2580. Move your car without ever getting behind the wheel. American Auto Transporters, 1-800-800-2580.
Give us 10 minutes, and we'll give you the best local and national news around. Each hour, we're 1410 AM, WMSX.
That's life. With my friend Mark Snyder. Noon weekdays on AM 1410. Call letters at WMSX. You never know which guest he'll have on next.
I'm going to tell you a story about a kangaroo.
Oh, really?
Not just any kangaroo will do, mind you. This one plays sports, does karate, and teaches kids, too. Let's all begin with this song. It's sung twice through.
Okay. Karate, a friend, a teacher, too. Karate, a friend, a teacher, too.
We'll sing with this bell on too.
He'll show you the sport he plays.
Karate, a friend, a teacher too. Karate,
we'll sing with his help on too.
Karate,
he'll show you the sport he plays.
And welcome back to That's Life with Mark Snyder. You know, I am so thrilled. On the line with us right now is the executive producer of the Emmy Award-winning children's show, Adventures with Kangaroo. And, someone told me this guy played football at one point. We'll find out about that. This is Ronnie Lott. Hi, Ronnie.
Hey, Mark. How are you?
Just joking with you. Boy, oh, boy, were you a football player.
No, I don't mind being an executive producer either, especially with Joe Montana.
Yeah, you and Joe.
As you know, it's an exciting project, and yeah, we did play football, but we really are concerned about kids too.
Yeah, I assume you are, and I love the. Actually, this is a really good show.
Yeah, it's a great show. It's a show that tries to teach kids about virtues of karate and teaching them virtues of how to be responsible and really. To respect karate, respect people, and I think we get away from that message. You know, you have Ninja Turtles, and you have other Power Rangers and those type of shows that I don't know if they really get to the essence of what karate is all about, and I think that's what Kangaroo is trying to teach kids, how to be responsible.
You know, it's interesting, though, you mentioned that. I mean, my son, when he was a little kid, watched the Power Rangers, and did get interested in karate from that, but he's stuck with it now. He has a blue belt, and you know, obviously doesn't like Power Rangers anymore. He also plays football, and he's 8 years old now. And this is something I think is great. And actually, karate and football go hand in hand in terms of many different things. We've had people like Andre Tippett in here talking about the same thing. Andre is a black belt as well. So they really do go together.
Yes, they do go together, and the reason that they go together is that you have to have discipline. When you have 11 guys on the field, they have to work together, they have to cheer each other on, they have to be a team, and they have to connect, and I think that that's what karate teaches you, is that when you learn the forms, and you learn the discipline, and you learn the art, it allows you to know that it's not just about going out beating up people. that you have to be able to be disciplined. You have to have some respect for people, and it's used as a form to create a oneness and a peace with yourself. And I think that that's what's great about karate and teaching young people about it at an early age. That's what kids need. They need self-assurance. They need discipline in their lives.
Mm. You won 4 Super Bowls with the San Francisco 49ers and Joe Montana. Is that, at this point, the crowning achievement of your life, winning those things?
Well, I think the crowning achievement is just having a great family. I'm very fortunate to be a part of a great family growing up with my mom and dad and brother and sister. But now having my own family, you got to say that that's the crowning achievement. But winning 4 Super Bowls, it falls right behind that. I was fortunate to play with some great guys.
You have 3 children?
Yeah, I have 3 children now, Chloe, Isaiah, and Haley. And, you know, they've had a chance to go on Kangaroo and participate in the show. And it's been a family thing. My wife's on the show, and it's been great for our family to participate and work with George Chung and his and what George has created.
Yeah, I'm a little bit in love with Miss Becky. You won't tell anybody, will you?
I'm a little in love with Miss Becky as well. She's a great lady. And Miss Becky, it's been a thrill for her to know that she's helping young people. And I think that that's what my wife's been about all her life. She helps our kids. But more importantly, with being Miss Becky on TV, she knows that she has a positive message to give out to young people.
Karen looks like she's having fun in the role as well.
Yeah, she has a lot of fun, and her and Jennifer and all the cast, the kids are great, and we just really, it's a family, and it's been a family for a number of years, and, you know, we're going into our 4th year this year, and it's been really exciting.
Tell me a little bit about how you got involved in this. Did George Chung and Anthony Chan approach you and Joe?
Yes, they did, and the reason why, I had worked out with George, and over the years I learned a lot about karate. And George, one of the things that I've seen him do is work with kids over the years, and when he came up with this project of taking what he's learned from karate and applying it to kids and taking Kangaroo, the kangaroo, and developing him into a character, I thought it was a neat project. And I know Joe and I decided that, man, God, this would be awesome to be associated with, to be able to help young people.
Hmm. Now, when you saw them, did they show you storyboards? How did you find out what was going on?
Well, they did show us storyboards, but what they really showed us was the two people that are involved with the project, the character of Joe and, the character of George Chung, Anthony Chan. We've known these guys, and we knew that they were going to put out a great product. The storyboards are one thing, but you got to have people behind it that are really concerned with kids and concerned with their welfare. And George, when he teaches kids before Kangaroo, he used to teach kids, and all the kids that were in there in his classes, they had to have a certain grade point average. So I knew right then and there that George was going to have a successful program, and we just had a chance to kind of go along for the ride by associating us and getting us involved.
I just got off the phone a minute ago. Our first guest today was Rafi, the children's entertainer. And we were talking about the problems with some of the kids these days, you know, some of these high schools, the shootings and all these kind of things, and trying to figure out what the problem is. And he was talking about the fact that many families don't have parents taking care of their kids. Nobody's home. What do you think some of the problems are, and what can be, I mean, obviously with young children, watching something like this is a very positive thing, but what do we do with some of the kids that have already gone past this age?
Well, I think it's important that we take ownership. You got to remember, when we were kids, it was pretty easy to walk down the street and your neighbor would tell you, hey, Ronnie, if you get in trouble, I'm going to tell your mom and dad. So you had parents and you had people watching you. You had the community watching you. And now when you walk down the street, very seldom do you find a neighbor or find a friend that will say hello. Very seldom can you walk and knock on somebody's door and ask them for milk. And I think that that's kind of, our country is kind of losing that. We need to start figuring out a way to be just kind to one another. And that's what Kangaroo is about, trying to be kind to people, trying to get people to respect one another, to really enjoy each other. And that's where I think we've lost it. And yet when you go to schools today, you see schools that when you walk in, the kids, they don't converse, they don't talk, they don't communicate. And just the essence of communicating and saying hi to a person, it's a great feeling. I mean, it's great to just walk down the street and say, hey, hello to somebody.
Hmm.
And we don't do that anymore in school.
No, well, not really. Not like it used to be. You know,
not like it used to be.
Yeah, things have just changed so much. You know, you're the executive producer along with Joe Montana of this program. What exactly is your involvement at this point now? What exactly do you, are you involved in every show they put together? What is your involvement?
Our involvement is really trying to help promote Kangaroo and trying to create a vision. Our job is to kind of see if we could possibly look at other angles to take some of our relationships and to see how we can benefit the show of Kangaroo. And so Joe, through his relationships with some of his sponsors and some of his endorsers, he tries to align them, and I try to do the same thing. And then obviously we're big cheerleaders, and that is the fact that our wives are involved, our families are involved. So I guess we do a little bit of everything. The only thing we don't do is we don't get behind the camera.
Hmm. You are doing so many things. I just can't believe one person has the energy or time to do them all. Now, you're still hosting Hardcore Football on Fox?
Yeah, I'm still doing that. And, since I stopped playing, I decided that, man, I'm going to work as hard as I do in everything else. And I guess what happens when you play football, you play football, 24 hours a day. And I feel like now that I'm not, I got to do that as well. I got to work 24 hours a day, and you get involved in projects like this. You work at Parkour, you work with Harris Barton, and you just have a great time in life and try to enjoy it and try to maximize it.
Now, you are an analyst for Fox as well, so while I have you on here, I got to ask you this because everybody said to me, Mark, ask Ronnie, what do you think of the New England Patriots' chances this year?
The New England Patriots' chances this year so far are fantastic. Obviously, getting off to a 2-0 start has been unbelievable. And I think that the thing that I see is that you got the quarterback is feeling more comfortable, Drew Bledsoe, with the offense this year. That he's hitting all his different weapons. Their defense is playing better. They've won some tight games, and that says a lot about your team because usually when you get in close games, teams have a way of falling apart. In this case, this team has really come together, and they fought through those moments. And to me, that says a lot about a team early on. That here's a team that lost. They lost their running back. They lost one of their starting safeties, and yet they've been able to come together. And that says a lot about the organization and the head coach.
They lost Ted Johnson as well for the year.
Oh yeah, and Ted Johnson and Ted is, to me, he's one of the best linebackers in the National Football League. So, yeah, you lose guys like that, but still, Ted is there, and he's probably doing whatever he can to be a part of this. But that's what you need. You need guys who are willing to make the sacrifices, and to me, that's what's happening right now. They have guys that believe in the system. They believe in each other, and that's made a difference.
I think one of the other things is that they have a healthy Terry Glenn this year.
That definitely helps.
Yeah, I mean, he just opens up
that
the whole offense.
Definitely helps.
He opens up that offense so much because of the deep threat that he poses.
I think the thing that he does for the team, though, is that he's another security blanket for Drew Bledsoe. I mean, Ben Coates is able to get open more. It's funny how one guy can help everybody else, and yet he doesn't even have to catch a pass.
Mm. It's amazing. I want to talk to you about a couple other things, Ronnie, okay? We have to take a break. We're talking to Ronnie Lott. When we go to break and come back from break, we're going to actually hear little bits of the adventures of Kangaroo right after this.
Honesty is doing what you know is right.
Bonafide, it's the side of truth. Baxter Speedy Printing, 62 Main Street in Brockton, is your full-service printing and copy center. Their state-of-the-art Canon laser color copier produces high-quality color copies sure to make any presentation, report, or correspondence look professional. Right now, Sir Speedy is offering a great deal to all their customers. For a limited time, 8.5 by 11 full color copies are just 99 cents. That's right, 99 cents. Reductions, enlargements, and adjustments are additional. Take advantage of this offer now because it won't last long. Sir Speedy Printing, 62 Main Street in Brockton, in the Enterprise Building. Call them today at 588-2555. That's 588-2555.
There's no end to our prize barrel. Keep listening for your chance to win on 1410 AM WMSX.
Well, not exactly. It was just lying on the ground.
Well, perhaps you should turn it into the lost and found.
I agree. It could belong to someone else.
But I found it.
She did find it. And you know what they say.
Finders keepers, losers weepers.
I wonder what Uncle Pat would have to say about this.
About what? Sarah found it. Should be hers.
Wait a minute, everyone. Can you think of a word that describes the right thing to do?
I know. Honesty.
Yeah. Honesty? Come on, guys. It's Uncle Pat's time.
Mm-hmm. Bye. Bye.
Be back on time.
Yeah. Hey, kids, you know who Uncle Pat is? I'll tell you who Uncle Pat is. Pat is Uncle Pat is Pat Morita, who was better known as Arnold on the Happy Days show, and he's part of this show as well. Cool cast on the show.
Yeah, it's a great cast, and the great thing about the cast is that they love kids. I mean, Pat Morita has been associated with kids for a long time, and with Karate Kid and some of the other projects that he's worked on, and he's been a great addition for our group.
Yeah, it's a nice show, and it's called Kangarati. And do you know what time it is on? Is it different times in different markets?
Yeah, it's on different. It's on usually Saturday, Sunday mornings at different times. Usually in the morning, all over the country on PBS. It's a great show, The Adventures of Kangarati, and really the exciting thing for me is that, like I said, we get a chance to try to hopefully help kids in their aspects of growing up and dealing with life. And we've had Bill Walsh on, we've had Dusty Baker on, we have had Jennifer Azey on. We've had a lot of different sports stars and different movie stars on, so it's been great.
Wow. You know, you played for the NFL for 15 years, and we were just talking in here. We loved watching you play, the whole group of us here. One of the hardest hitters. People, when you hit them, they knew about it.
No. That part was a fun part. I mean, playing with guys like Jerry and Joe. I didn't mind hitting people when you knew that if you got the ball from them, you could get it to Joe and Jerry.
Hmm. Well, you know, as I mentioned, my son is 8, and he plays football and does karate. And I think that even at that age, you know, they like the contact. They like hitting and they don't even mind getting hit. And it's just part of the game.
At that age, though, you got to be careful. You want them to wear the proper equipment. You want to make sure that they're doing and playing the game the right way. You don't want to see injuries. And I think that if you have the proper equipment on and you're playing the game the appropriate way, I don't see anything wrong with that. And the same thing goes with karate. If you got a great teacher, it's a great thing for a kid.
Yeah, I think that the best thing he's learned there is respect and self-discipline.
Yeah, and those two things are what we all run to see kids have. And you can definitely get that when you participate in karate.
I understand that you just did a exercise video called Strong Mind, Fit Bodies.
Yeah, I got involved in that, and it's a fun project. And, George has worked on a number of projects where we've tried to take the strong mind and try to apply that to helping yourself be physically fit.
Hmm. Well, I think it's something that not only kids should be aware of, but also adults. Many Americans are out of shape nowadays.
Yeah, they are, but it starts with the mind, and it starts with keeping the mind strong, and you know, the one thing that's unfortunate is that if you let the mind go, the rest will go. And I think that it definitely starts with a strong mind, and then that obviously will help keep you hopefully physically fit.
Hmm. Ronnie, I want to thank you so much for taking time to talk about Kangarati and all the stuff that you're doing, and we look forward to continuing seeing you on TV, on Fox, and everywhere else doing what you do best.
Thank you very much, and tell Pete Carroll and those guys to keep it going.
Well, hopefully they will. We're around here, I got to tell you, Ronnie, we're not confident about Pete Carroll's abilities.
Well, hey, when you're 2-0, you're doing something right, and you're getting some things done, so that's part of it. I mean, that is a really big deal that you got to accomplish, and so it's important for him to keep it going in the right direction and believing in himself.
You know, it's interesting. During the second game, I don't know if you were watching the last week's game, but when we were down, I guess it was 28-7 or something like that, or 20-21-0. Many of the folks around here were asking, were yelling at their TVs to put Michael Bishop in, who's one of the backups, and to fire Coach Carroll.
Oh, I'm sure they were, and that's always going to be the case. And yet, I think that you got to have your coach and you got to have your quarterback. They got to believe in one another. And sometimes it's easy to lose the faith. And I mean, it's easy for everybody to lose the faith in Pete at this time, just based on what's happened the last couple of years. But if he keeps, you know, swinging for the fence and taking an attitude that, hey, look, I'm going to do whatever it takes, and the rest of the guys take that attitude, you know, that's the only thing that really matters, because he's got to go out there and get it done, and the players have to get it done. We're all going to have different opinions on who should be fired, who should be quarterbacking, and yet right now they're 2-0, and that's all that really matters.
Have you seen Michael Bishop at all?
Yeah, I saw Michael Bishop up at up there at camp, and had a chance to watch him perform, and he is a steal. He, you know, I mean, here's a guy that a lot of people didn't take a look at, and he's gonna be a great quarterback in the National Football League, and I know that they're really happy to have him as a backup, and I liked him. I saw some things there, and I couldn't believe the velocity that he could put on the ball, and he has a great ability to move around and scramble. So yeah, he's gonna be a quarterback of the future. He's got a lot to learn in terms of the National Football League, but he's going to be a big-time threat.
Ronnie Lott, thank you so much for coming on today.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Tomorrow we'll have on Brian Evans, who has a brand-new CD called Live at the Desert Inn. Don't forget, tomorrow morning at 7, it's Stu in the Morning, and then at 10, it's Ron Nelson Peterson in the Morning Show, right here at 1410 AM, WMSX Brockton.